So without taking much time, I'd like to welcome Reverend Joshua, who is going to share the word of God today. He's going to pray and then proclaim the word of God. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord our Father, we thank you this time again because you want to talk to our hearts. Pray that you will bless this time, that you will open our hearts so that we can receive the seed of your word. The seed which have to take root to grow and bear fruit. Thank you because you are going to do this. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, church. I thank the Lord for the privilege of having the floor today so that I can lead the meditation of the Word of God that we are going to find in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, and chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Let us read. This is the account of what Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, accomplished. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, that Artaxerxes was emperor of Persia, I, Nehemiah, was in Susa, the capital city. Hanani, one of my brothers, arrived from Judah with another group, and I asked them about Jerusalem and about the other Jews who had returned from exile in Babylon. They told me that those who had survived and were back in the homeland were in great difficulty, and that the foreigners who lived nearby looked down on them. They also told me that the wall of Jerusalem were still broken down and that the gates had not been restored since the time they were burned. When I heard all this, I sat down and wept. For several days I mourned and did not eat. I prayed to God. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. One day, 4 months later, when Emperor Artaxerxes was dining, I took the wine to him. He had never seen me look sad before, and he asked, Why are you looking so sad? You aren't sick, so it must be that you're unhappy. I was startled and answered, May your majesty live forever. How can I keep from looking sad when the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The emperor asked, What is it that you want? I prayed to the Lord, I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said to the emperor, If your majesty is pleased with me and is willing to grant my request, let me go to the land of Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild the city. The emperor, with the empress sitting at his side, approved my request. He asked me how long I would be gone and when I would return, and I told him. From this text, we want to reflect to the topic entitled, The Christian Really Committed to the development of his nation despite challenging circumstances. The Christian really committed to the development of his nation despite challenging circumstances. We'll remember that during the whole month of October, we were discussing the theme, perseverance in serving the Lord despite challenges. And today we choose to discuss the same theme, but using the example of Nehemiah, who was committed to the development, to the change, the positive change he intended to accomplish between the Israelites. You will remember that Nehemiah was a layman. He was neither a priest nor a prophet. He is one of the Jews who was deported to Babylon. And he was selected to be in charge of giving wine to the emperor, the king, when he is taking his meal. And this selection was made when the Medo-Persian had conquered Babylon. It is in such position that he learned about the situation, the negative situation of the city of Jerusalem, which was in ruins. The walls were destroyed and they were broken down. The gates were burned with fire, and the remnant of people was going through huge suffering. And the Bible says that after receiving this news, Nehemiah was extremely devastated. He asked the king to allow him to go to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the town. This is a brief history about his encouragement, his commitment, and we have some lessons to keep in mind, from his history. From this story, which shows us how Nehemiah was committed to the development of his nation. He was committed to make happen change, positive change in the life of his people. We want to talk about four lessons. The first one is that Nehemiah had a deep and sound understanding of the real problem of his nation. To reach this point, he carried out a research. He carried out what we call a situation analysis, and he came to discover three negative things. First is the terrible, the horrible suffering of the nation in the destroyed city of Jerusalem. The second thing he discovered through his research is that the people was living under terrible disgrace because of the strangers, the foreigners, who were dominating them. Because the Bible said that they were looking down on them. The third thing is that the city protective wall was broken and gates were burned with fire. This means that the people were facing an insecure situation because they were facing danger, because they were living in a city which was not secure, protected. And the Bible tells us that he came up with knowing what was going on in his city, among his people, his nation. This is what he discovered. And as a result, Nehemiah was extremely shocked. This is why the Bible says he sat down, he cried, he even ceased eating. He fasted and he wanted to be near the Lord in praying. The lesson here is that when a person wants to commit to the development of his nation, he must carry out a deeper situation analysis in order to have a sound understanding of the situation the people is going through, in order to master what is the problem in the midst of the people, the nation. Second lesson is that Nehemiah decided to act and to make positive change happen. And this was led by two significant things. First, it's compassion. He had to have compassion. Compassion manifested in his life when learning about the suffering his people is going through and putting himself in the situation of suffering, he felt suffering with his own people. And he wished to provide relief to them. This is the first thing that pushed him to decide to act and not delay his action. Second thing is determination. Nehemiah decided to act and make change immediately. This is about positive change. He decided to provide relief to his people because of the suffering they were going through. And this, when he decided to act in order to provide, in order to make happen positive change, this is what is called development. Because development is defined as the process that embarks a community in positive change of their living condition in different areas of life. When you engage to embark the community in the process of positive change, so that as a result, they can start living, experiencing the well-being. This is what is called development. So if you want to do this, you are going to help people to start experiencing well-being. And this well-being is what was intended by Nehemiah. The second lesson we want to learn here is that when someone wants to commit to the development, to the positive change in the midst of his nation, he must have compassion and he must have determination. He must feel like he is suffering with his people. He must desire to provide relief to the suffering people. Third lesson, Nehemiah was ready for sacrifice. He was ready for sacrifice by accepting to take a risk. If you read to chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, you are going to learn that after receiving the news, the negative news from Jerusalem, he went to the king and he asked the king to let him go to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. So, at this level, he accepted to take a risk. He accepted sacrifice because he took an extreme decision in order to make change happen, positive change happen, in order to provide relief to the people which was in huge suffering. And you have to note that he took this decision even if it was to his disadvantage. So the decision is to accept to leave the opulence and prosperity which was tied to his position of as advisor to the emperor. Why do I say this? It is because at the time he is giving wine to the king, he could speak to him by whispering to his ear. This was possible because of his position. And he had many advantages tied, binded to this position. But he accepted to leave all these advantages and to go to his people. He accepted to leave, to quit opulence, and to go and suffer with his people. This is an extreme decision, accepting to take a risk of going towards people and people who were in huge suffering. It was also a decision to work by himself, by putting his efforts together with the efforts of the people so that they can together change the situation from negative situation to desired situation. So the third lesson is that if you want to commit to the development of our nation, we must accept sacrifice. We must be ready to quit, to leave prosperity, to accept to suffer with those who are suffering. Fourth lesson, which is the last one, Nehemiah had a strong relationship with his God. This is revealed in chapter 1, verse 4, and in chapter 2, verse 8. Because chapter 1, verse 4 says, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. For several days I mourned and did not eat. I prayed to the Lord. I prayed to God. This act of praying is a way he was using to nurture his relationship with his Lord. If you read chapter 2, verse 8, you are going to see at the end of the verse, he says, the emperor gave me all I asked for because God was with me. God was with him. He was living a life
together with his God. And he was nurturing this relationship through prayer.
And I want to tell you that this relationship, this one Nehemiah had with his God, was not just any relationship. It was a relationship, a special relationship, which was grounded in God's covenant. You can see this in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5, where he says, "You faithfully keep your covenant with those who love you and do what you command." A covenant is an agreement, a contract, a pact that is concluded between two people and which binds them in regard to what must be done and what must be avoided. This is a covenant. And this is what was in the life, in the relationship. This was the foundation of the relationship between God and his man Nehemiah. When it comes to the New Testament, when for us Christian, the New Testament talks about covenant, it's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, which was poured so that we can be purified, so that we can be relieved, so that we can be saved from sin, so that we can be forgiven and transformed, so that we can be ready to serve our Lord Jesus Christ all our remaining life. The blood of Jesus Christ, what we always sing, there is power, power in the blood of whom? Of the Lamb. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ is not about theory. It's about something real, something we have to experience at two levels. Because you know that to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured because of us, so that we can be saved, we can be purified, this is one thing. But it is another thing to apply the blood of Jesus Christ on our hearts so that we can be delivered from sin, so that our lives can be changed, transformed, to make us ready to serve him and to work in his will. I remember one day René Bonke was preaching, and he was preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And after preaching, it was a crusade. One person came to him and told him, "Why are you continuing to preach about the power of blood of Jesus Christ? There are 2,000 years ago that this blood was poured. But still, even today, people are becoming more and more sinners. Why do you continue to preach this?" And at the time, he receives a revelation and he talked to him. "Do you know soap?" He said, "Yes." "Does soap exist?" He said, "Yes." "Do you believe the power of the soap?" He said, "Yes." "Do you believe that the soap can wash a person and his clothes so that he can be clean and live clean?" He said, "Yes." And he asked him, "Now, is everyone in this world clean because the soap exists?" He said, "No." And he said, "This is the same with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the soap
is useful to wash only the person who is going to accept to apply the soap to his body and to his clothes. Amen. Amen. It's the same with the blood of Jesus Christ. It can clean not only someone who believes that the blood was poured so that he can be saved by him, by it, but it cleans, it purifies, and transforms the life of the one who accepts to take the blood of Jesus Christ and to apply to his heart. And the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to purify, to deliver, and to change, to transform the life of these people, this person. So the lesson is what? Is that if you want to engage, to commit to the development of the nation, which is in suffering, who's suffering, you must have a sound relationship, a close relationship with the Lord, a relationship which is grounded in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, because you can nothing without being accompanied by the power of our Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.